This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, Rick is bringing you a special message. His greatest hope is that this message will bring you peace and healing during a time when life seems out of control. By the way, this teaching is available right now on PastorRick.com. Here's Pastor Rick with part one of today's message.
Today, I'd like to speak to Christians everywhere, here in the U.S. and even in other nations too. And I'd like to speak to you about how God heals broken nations. How God heals broken nations. You know, this past week, we saw how deeply America is divided and what some people are willing to do to get their way. And we saw how allegiance to a person instead of allegiance to the rule of law can lead to anarchy. It was a dark and shameful day when, for the first time in American history, armed Americans laid siege on their own capital, trying to replace the rule of law with the rule of a mob. Now, friends, these are difficult times, and many norms have been broken, things that we would have never thought in our lifetime would be possible. And the next dozen days could be tense in what has always been a respectful transfer of power. But these are different times, and in many ways, they're desperate times. Politically, our government has been paralyzed by partisanship. Economically, millions of people are out of work. Internationally, our reputation is shredded. As I said, enemies were laughing at us this week. And spiritually, the culture is descending into chaos. This week, after the events that we saw happen before our eyes at the national capitol, I kept being stopped in grocery stores being asked, "Pastor Rick, what's going on? How can this be happening in our nation? What does God think about all of this?" And a phrase that I kept hearing was this: we need a national healing. We need a national healing. And you know what? I agree 100%. And I've actually thought this for years, that our nation, many nations, need healing. I immediately thought of Psalm 60, where David cries out to God in a national time of conflict in those days. And in Psalm 60, verse 2, listen to this. It's in the New Living and in the Living Bible. David says this: "You have shaken this nation and split it open. Now, Lord, heal the cracks before it completely collapses." That is a verse for our time. Lord, heal the cracks before it completely collapses. The Message translation, that verse says, "Heal the breaks because everything is coming apart at the seams." And in the next verse, Psalm 60, verse 3, it says, "You have shown your people desperate times. We're staggering like we're drunk on wine." What a picture. But then verse 4 and verse 5 gives us some hope. And it says this: "But you," talking about God, "but you have given us a banner to rally to. All those who love truth will rally to it. And then you can deliver your beloved people. Use your strong right arm to rescue us." Now, anytime you see the phrase "but you" in the Bible and it's talking about God, you can get ready for a good dose of hope. But God, or but you, because God's word is filled with examples of how God heals hurts, heals brokenness, heals conflict, and actually heals a broken nation. He did it many, many times with the nation of Israel. And there is a clear pattern. When you look at this book and you study this book, there is a clear pattern, and there is even a specific promise that God gives us in the nation that we live in and when it's in trouble. Now, it's not a promise to any specific nation. The United States is never mentioned in this book. Neither is Germany or Argentina, Philippines or China, where other Saddleback members live. We're an international church. But it is a specific promise to the people of God. It's a promise to Christian believers who live in any country. And that's what we're going to look at today: how God heals a broken nation. 3,000 years ago, God made a promise to Solomon at the dedication of the new temple in Jerusalem. Now, as I said, it's not a promise to America or to any other specific nation, but it is a promise to God's people anywhere. And it gives us a specific path to the healing of any nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the verse I'm talking about, and it goes this. You've heard this verse many times, but we're going to tear it apart word by word today. If my people, he's not talking to politicians, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then that's the path. Here's the promise. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Now, with every promise of God, there's always a premise. There are conditions. There are requirements. And that's what we're going to look at today. You know, this nation, along with many, many other nations, needs a miraculous healing. Right now, we need healing in our culture. We need healing in our government. We need healing in our economy. We need healing in our businesses. We need healing in our schools, in our cities, in our families. We need healing in our marriages, in our hearts. We need healing everywhere. And the good news is that the wounds that we can see around us today are not fatal, and healing is available. So what's it going to take? What's it going to take to turn things around? How does God heal a broken nation? Well, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the verse we just read, God gives us, as I said, the pathway and the promise. He gives us four prerequisites or conditions for national healing. And then, and by the way, it's not just for national healing. This can heal relationships. You got a broken relationship? Do these four things. It can heal a relationship. It can have personal healing in your own life. So let's look at them. Number one, first condition for healing, we must humbly confess our sins. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Now, again, this is not a promise for everybody. It's a promise for followers of God, followers of Christ. If my people called by my name, you call yourself a Christian, you're called by Christ's name. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, the number one cause of all our problems is pride, arrogance, self-sufficiency, thinking we don't need God. We think we're God. We don't even think about consulting God in much of the time in what we're doing. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so we start with the humble humility of confessing our sins to God. 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim we're not sinning, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It's self-deception for me to look at the sins of everybody else, worry about the sins of all my enemies, worry about the sins of all the people I disagree with, and not think about me. You've heard the phrase, hate the sin, love the sinner, hate the sin. I got a better one for you. Love the sinner and hate your sin.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Jesus said, according to your faith will it be done to you. Matthew 9:29. That's an amazing statement. Jesus is saying that you get to choose how much God blesses you and how much God uses you in his plan for the world. So, how is that possible? The answer is faith. Daring faith is the key to fulfilling God's will in your life, and it's the secret to experiencing miracles in your life. You'll want to journey with Pastor Rick through the Daring Faith Bible study as he examines true biblical faith and looks at the lives of people who are commended for their faith in the Bible. If you're ready to break out of your comfort zone and do what God has called you to do, then order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren today. These videos are packed with inspiring teaching that will free you up to become the history maker you were made to be. Be bold, step out of the ordinary, and live a life of daring faith. Right now, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the 6-Session Daring Faith DVD and workbook. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with 2 R's in the middle, .com.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
1 John 1:8 says, if we claim we're not sinning, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It's self-deception for me to look at the sins of everybody else, worry about the sins of all my enemies, worry about the sins of all the people I disagree with, and not think about me. You've heard the phrase, hate the sin, love the sinner, hate the sin. I got a better one for you. Love the sinner and hate your sin. Love the sinner and hate my sin. I should hate my sin. I shouldn't worry about hating everybody else's sin. Let me worry about just hating the sin in my own life. See, the problem is instead of practicing humility, we spend more time, you might write this down. The problem, the first of these four problems that we're looking at, is that we spend more time accusing others and excusing ourselves than we spend practicing humility. We spend more time accusing others and excusing ourselves than we do practicing humility. Now, let me show you some verses where God talks about this tendency. James 4:12, God gave us his laws so he alone can rightly judge us. God is the only one who has the right to judge us. And he alone has the right to save or destroy. So who do you think you are to judge and condemn your neighbor? I don't have a right to judge you, and you don't have a right to judge me. The Bible says God is the only judge and lawgiver. Romans 2:3 says this, so when you, a mere human, pass judgment on others, and yet you do the same similar sins, how do you think you're going to escape God's judgment? We often try to take the focus off of our failures and our sins and our mistakes by pointing at everybody else, but as the old saying goes, when you're pointing a finger at somebody else, I got three of them pointing right back at me. 1 Peter 4:17, for it is time for judgment to begin. Everybody's going, yeah, judge those people, God. Judge those people. Well, let's read the rest of the verse. For it is time for judgment to begin, and it must begin with us. Judgment must start with the family of God. Did you know that? If God's going to judge America or any other nation, he's going to start with the Christians in it. He's going to start with those who claim his name. I call myself a Christian, a Christian, a little Christ. The family of God. Judgment has to start. If it's going to start anywhere, change is going to start. It's going to start in the church. Not in politics, not in anything else. Proverbs 28:13. People who try to cover up their sins will not succeed. Why can't we learn that verse? The cover-up's always worse than the sin. People who try to cover up their sins will not succeed, but if they confess and forsake them, they will receive mercy. So, the first step to any kind of healing, the first step to any kind of recovery, national or anything else, in your home, in your marriage, is humble confession. That's the first step. So let me just be frank. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want your family to be healed? Do you want your marriage to be healed? Do you want your nation to be healed? Then you must take the hard first step of humble confession. If my people will humble themselves. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. If you're taking notes, circle the phrase each other. Confess to each other. Pray for each other. Write this down. I need others to help me change. I need others to help me change. You can't change simply by yourself. If you could, you would. But you can't, so you won't. There are a lot of things in your life you don't like about you, and you've tried to change them, but they don't change. Why? Because God has wired the world and wired the universe in a way that we only change with the help of others. That's why we have recovery groups at Saddleback and support groups at Saddleback and small groups at Saddleback and online groups. And if you want to be a part of an online group, we literally have, 7,000, 8,000 small groups spread out all over America. We'll help you get in one. But he says, confess your faults to each other and you will be healed. Revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. So here's your homework. Make a sin list. This week, sit down, say, Lord, show me anything in my life that's unpleasing to you. And be specific. Don't just say, forgive me for all my sins. No, make a list. Be specific. Jealousy there. If it's gossip, write it down. If it's slander, write it down. If it's impatience, write it down. If it's anger, outburst, write it down. And then confess it. Then cross them all out and burn the paper. That's the first step. We must pray. We must humbly confess our sins. Number two, we must not only confess humbly, we must pray sincerely. Pray sincerely. This isn't mouthing, you know, prayers that we've prayed all our lives. This is praying from the heart. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and pray. This is not half-hearted praying. This is not thoughtless praying. This is not meaningless praying. This is not, now I lay my down to sleep, bless the gift and the giver, thanks for this food and bless it to our bodies. Not ritual praying. It's praying from the heart. Sincere praying is authentic praying. It's passionate praying. It's sincere. It's even desperate praying. God, you got to help us now. We're in deep trouble. We need this healing now. An example in the Bible is Jacob who says to God, I'm not going to let go of you till you bless me. Well, what's the problem? How do we get ourselves in such a mess? I'll tell you how we got ourselves in such a mess. We spend more time complaining than we do praying. We spend more time complaining than we do praying. Praying changes things. Complaining, worrying, being anxious, griping, never changes anything. Now, this is not a new problem. This was a problem back in Hosea's days, years and years ago. Hosea chapter 7, verse 14 says this. They do not cry out to me with sincere hearts. Instead, they sit on their couches and they wail. That word in Hebrew, wail, literally means complain loudly. It means I'm griping. How many times have you sat on your couch, looking at the television, griping about what's going on in your society, griping about what you see on the news, complaining about what's happening in the world? How much has that changed anything? How many times have you complained on social media about what you see going on in our nation or our world or wherever? He says, they don't cry out to me sincerely. Instead, they sit on their couches and complain. Let me ask you, do you spend more time watching the news or on social media commenting about the news or in prayer talking to God about what's going on? One of them can change things. The other two are worthless. Colossians 4:2, be earnest, that's sincere, and unwearied and steadfast in your prayers. This is the Amplified translation. Be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayers, being alert and intent in your prayers. In other words, I don't put my mind in neutral and just start mouthing off spiritual words. Be intent in your prayers with thanksgiving. She says, okay, how do I be more sincere in my prayer? By being more specific. How do you be more specific in your prayer? Write down a prayer list. Nothing becomes specific until you write it down. Then all of a sudden it becomes very, very specific. You know, when I was in college, I remember in my dorm room, I took a big piece of butcher paper and I covered my wall, and on it I wrote the date, and then I would write my prayer request, and then I would wait, and then I would, when it was answered, I'd write the answer down, and I would write the date it was answered. And at the end of that year in college, I had on that wall 56 specific answers to prayer. You think that built my faith? Of course it did. Why? Because I could see. I prayed specifically. I got specific answers, and that built my faith. Ephesians 5:18 says this, pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers, asking for all you need. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up. Always pray for all God's people. If you're taking notes, go back and circle all the alls and always in that verse. That's sincerity. Jesus said it like this, Luke 18, verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples, told them a story about how they should keep on praying and never give up. You're always doing one of those two things, one or the other. You're either praying or you're giving up. You're praying or you're giving up. You look at the world right now, you feel like giving up on it. You look at our society, you look at our government, you look at the paralysis of our government. Well, you can pray or you can give up. If you prayed as much as you worried, you'd have a lot less to worry about. So if you're serious about seeing our nation healed, it isn't going to happen through the ballot box. It isn't going to happen through politics. If you're serious about seeing our nation healed, here's your homework. Make a prayer list. Make a prayer list of some specific things you're going to ask God to do this year in your life and in your family, in our church, in the whole world, in our nation. Make a prayer list. This is your homework. Make a prayer list for this new year. Now we come to the third condition for national healing. Or for that matter, any other kind of healing. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, that's one, humbly confess, and pray with sincerely, then third, and seek my face. Here it is. We must seek God intensely. We confess our sins humbly, and we pray sincerely, and we seek God intensely. Seeking God intensely means you're not doing it in your spare moments. It has to become your primary focus.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again, to find out more about this ministry, and to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, if you'd like to step out of an ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith, then you're going to want to order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith Study Kit, and it includes a DVD and it includes a workbook. Now, there's six sessions in the Daring Faith Study Kit, and it'll teach you these six things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith Study Kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the Daring Faith Study Kit, a six-session DVD and workbook. As our way of saying thanks, go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.